Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization and all of the educational materials they have and the activities and just what they bring to the black community. Remember, www.pactsinc.org. Then you already know why you're online. Make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we put it down. It's our home base where you can learn more about myself, Patrick, the Freedom Train podcast series, and all of the host of the other podcasts that we have on our network. And remember, we have two shows that's on Patreon right now. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, to these shows on this network, and you like them and you want to support, you can go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/thefix. And that way you can specifically patronize and support the Fix. And Patrick, tell them about yours.
Yeah, so my Patreon is /LFTS, Lessons from the Screen. I do want to put this out. The show will be returning this week. So, and I've been putting out my little messages all week, but I want to let, you know, people know that the show will be returning this week. I haven't forgotten. It's not going for good and nothing like that. Like I said in the message I put out, got caught up trying to do things for the organization that took, you know, a little bit of precedent over the show. So I had to put down the show for the past 2 weeks and focus on that. But that's done enough to where I can get back to the show, so the show will be coming back starting Tuesday.
There it is. Everything been good with you today, though, man?
Yeah, man, I done crashed like 3 times this week, so today was one of the days I crashed. I like literally just woke up, so I'm good. So obviously, I ain't even up good enough to talk yet because my tongue is acting all crazy, but
you know, get you some cone yet, you be all right.
I don't drink, Joseph. I'm holy.
You ain't holy. You just don't drink. The holy? Ain't nobody would say. Nah. Sober. Not holy. You know how that goes.
I like my word better.
Hey, man. Okay. If that makes you feel good.
What we got?
Man, so today we got a guest. Good homie of mine, man. I ran into him about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. He was cutting hair at a barbershop in the Government Square Mall. So, Pat, you know how, like, when you have those shops in the mall, they get traffic. And so he was just in the corner, just doing his thing. And I had no idea on the back end he had a master plan that he was building. So I just, because the owners of the other shop used to let us come in and kind of do testing and stuff for my day job. So, bam, got all that going. So the guy who actually cuts my hair, I was in his shop. Well, I was at the shop that he was previously at, and he was like, man, F this. I'm at this shop. The shop ain't talking about nothing. So I'm going over to the shop in the Tallahassee Mall. So I'm like, well, hell, if you're going, I'm going. Not knowing that it was Willie Moody's shop. But I had already saw online that Willie had opened his shop. So I had it in my mind that I want to make sure that I patronize his shop. I want to make sure that I support him. But it all just worked out together. So the first time into the shop, we got a chance to kind of chop it up. And then just being able to listen to his plan, see what he got going on, see what he put forth, and also just the way that he opens up his shop to the community. That's like, all right, this young man is out here doing his thing. He had a master plan. He opened up his own barbershop. He's helping the community. He's an entrepreneur. He wasn't afraid to go out there and, like Steve Harvey said, he got to jump. He wasn't afraid to jump. So I want all y'all to put y'all hands together. I want you to get up out your seat, get your mind right, and put your hands together for the one and only Mr. Willie Moody. Y'all can hit a freaking train, my brother.
Right, thank you, brother.
Yes, yes, yes. Appreciate you
did
coming
you
on
really
the show, man.
You the Steve Harvey.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll be hating on Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you being on the show, my brother, man.
Yeah, no problem, Joe.
Yeah, man. So, Pat, you got the first question, man. Let's kick this off.
You know what it is. The first question every week is always, let the people know a little bit about who you are, you know, some background information as much as you're comfortable with, and why you chose to be a barber.
All right, yes. So to start off, my name is Willie Moody. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, where I graduated from Ed White High School back in 1999. I left Jacksonville to pursue education in Tallahassee, where I was accepted at FAMU, Florida A&M University. I initially started FAMU as with the intent of trying to become a pharmacist because, you know, I thought that that would make me a lot of money as I finished school, you know. And I think money was the main goal and the focus of me deciding on what I wanted to major in. Once I got into the program, I started working at Walgreens in Tallahassee and in the pharmacy. And I just hated my job, you know, and I knew that me doing this for the long term, it wouldn't be good. When I went back to my dorms, when I wasn't working and I wasn't studying in the Coleman Library, you feel me, you know, I'd be cutting hair in the dorms. I cut hair, and I remember cutting hair before I left Jacksonville to come here. I used to cut my boys hair in the neighborhood, you know, all the boys would get together on the front porch. And you know, we kick it, and you know, everybody cut each other hair, and I initially became everybody barber, you know. Get back to why I'm here in Tallahassee right now. To get back to the question, you know, after I switched from pharmacy, I studied food science. I became a food science graduate. You know what I'm saying? And you know, just through the matriculation of the whole process, you feel me, I learned how to really do research and study, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think I'm a phenomenal researcher, and I know how to apply that information to my, you know, everyday life. So you know, how I became a barber, you know what I'm saying? I think just the repeated me cutting all these heads when I wasn't, you know, really thinking about it, just kept coming back naturally, and you know, just one day I'm looking at my situation, I'm like, man, why am I working at all of these jobs? You know what I'm saying? Once I got my food science degree, I started working at like restaurants as a general manager. You know, all the corporate bullshit that we go through. You know, I didn't want it to apply to me. You know, so I just quit my jobs. You know what I'm saying? And just picked up some clippers, and you know, I say I'm gonna have a barbershop business. I'm a cut hair, and I'm not gonna go back to the 9-to-5 thing no more. And, you know, that's exactly what I did. My wife at that time, she wasn't too happy about it. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's been a lot of rough years. You know, but now, you know, now we can finally eat the fruits of the success and sacrifices. So I don't know if that answered the first question, but yeah, man.
Nah, it do.
Yeah, it definitely answered the question.
And see, yeah. He helped the Steve Harvey reference because he actually took that leap. See? That you a hater.
That's right.
Man, that's impressive when you lay a story out like that and just showcase, you know, look, this is what I've been through to get here. Like, that's impressive, man. That sounds intense.
It is. I mean, you know how many people are afraid to take that first step to do something that they love. I know plenty of people who I run into on a regular basis who keep talking about things that they want to do, but they never start doing it. So.
Right. That's right.
That's what's up, man. And your educational background, like, most people wouldn't think you had an educational background as a barber.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I don't try to portray myself as, you know what I'm saying, somebody I'm not. So I don't dress up in no certain tie. You know what I mean? I did that plenty of times going to church during my life, and I hated it every time. You feel me?
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. So But one more thing about that, though, because me, Pat and I, we big on research, because I know I spend a lot of time doing research. Pat spend more time than me doing research, though. But research is something that we both enjoy doing, and we both understand the importance of research. It's like, to you, like, how important is research to you?
I think it's important, but I don't let it become important to where it take over my time and my energy. You know what I'm saying? I look at information and research, maybe using various like methods. You know, I might go to the library, public library, and do it old school and just pull out some books, you know, related to what I'm trying to, you know, research. Or you know, I might go on YouTube and you know, just get some ideas of what it is I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if that answers your question.
Nah, that's it. I mean, because it's like, just to hammer the point home that research is important. Like, if you're not out here doing research, especially if you're pursuing a goal, you're not doing any type of research, then you're tripping. So.
Yeah, it's like I feel like if I don't do no research, it's like I'm dying out here, man. I'm wasting time, you know?
I feel you.
That's 100% right there. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If you ain't, I mean, everybody ain't going to be no, you know, like no research junkie or no bookhead or nothing like that. That's cool. But if you trying to do something and you ain't taking the time to do a little bit of research on it, you definitely going to be wasting a whole lot of time doing stuff and making mistakes that you could have avoided just by, you know, doing a little bit of research.
Look at here. So you opened up your own barbershop, and the name of it is Advanced Cuts and Shades. And if you're in the Tallahassee area, it's in the Tallahassee Center, you know, aka the Tallahassee Mall, right between Belk's and the AMC. So you're in the prime spot for traffic. So
that's right.
Why did you name the shop Advanced Cuts and Shades, and what's your overall mission with the shop?
Yeah, right. So yeah, Advanced Cuts and Shave, I think it was a last minute thing. I know every single day I try to progress my business and myself as a professional. So, you know, Advanced, it was just last minute thing, once I found out, you know, that I needed to come up with the name for this barbershop. You know, that's just the first thing that kept coming to my head, and, you know, just using my instincts, I went with that, you know. And I guess Advanced, you know, it falls into, you know, I guess the mission of the barbershop, which is, you know, try to advance the quality of your life, you know, advance the quality of everybody around you, and, you know, try to, you know, help each other and build on each other's skill and energy, you know.
Right. Now earlier, you was saying when you was at the Governor Square, that's when you first started. When you was working at the Governor Square, that's when you first attempted to get the location that you have now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. After my first 6 months of cutting hair, I knew that I had traffic every single day coming in. I would make a certain amount of money, which was great for the type of lifestyle that I was living at that time, you know what I'm saying? So I already knew that I was going to have me a barbershop one day, so I started working on it after 6 months. Once I was at the Governor's Square my first 6 months, I knew that whatever I did every day, you know what I'm saying, that as my routine, they would be what I would ultimately be doing at my first shop. So I practiced it at that shop, and to come to my surprise, you know, I never had a lot of help besides, you know, Bullet the Barber, who's actually the manager. He's a great business and barber himself.
Right.
Out of a shop of 15 to 16 guys, you know what I'm saying, if only one person just doing the bulk of the work necessary to keep up with that shop, you know, I don't know, I just don't see why anybody wouldn't come in and just do it by themselves without being told, you know what I'm saying. I've seen the obstacles, the problems in that shop, and you know, it's what I wanted my shop not to have, you know what I'm saying. I wanted to run exactly how I didn't want the Governor's Square shop to run. Yeah, so I guess I practiced Advanced Cuts and Shaves after 6 months at the Governor's Square. That's what I was running, Advanced Cuts and Shaves. So right now I'm at Advanced Cuts and Shaves, and the barbershop, it will build itself. It will build its own culture, you know what I'm saying? I'm working on my next shop at this shop that I'm currently at right now, if that makes any sense.
Well, Well, it do to me because I've been in the shop and I've, and you know, you and I have talked about your vision because I know you have the barbering station in the front and you have in the back where you're going to be able to do hair, facials, nails, and all those different things. So.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
So, all right. So, as far as the actual journey, because I know you're giving us bits and pieces, but can you give us a little more information, like, on the actual journey from the vision to the shop? So you're in the governor's school. You're working with Bullet. You see that your work ethic is different from everybody else's work ethic. You see that your vision is different from everybody else's vision. What was the actual steps that you took to take it from vision to actual reality?
Yeah, the actual steps that I took was, you know, first envisioning what I ultimately wanted, you know what I'm saying? I ultimately wanted to be living, you know what I'm saying? I started practicing it then, you know what I'm saying? I started, you know, cold calling, Tallahassee, and other locations in town at where I thought I would want to have my barbershop at. I would do this outside of cutting hair at the Governor Square Mall, and I built relationships with just some of the leasing agents, and I learned that, you know, a lot of them would just, you know what I'm saying, just tell me some BS just to keep put me on hold, you know what I mean? It was one location I had in mind that was close to the Governor Square Mall, and I'm quite sure that I chose that location because it was close to where I was actually cutting at that time, and I wanted it to be, you know what I'm saying, convenient for my clients that I had at that time at the Governor Square Mall so they didn't have to have a long travel time. And I felt comfortable in that area, so, you know, I thought that's the area that I would ultimately end up at. And what happened was it's a bar, Zingales, I think.
Yeah.
A million dollar business, and they took over a lot of space, and then they were talking about moving into that space at the same time. So the leasing agent, you know, basically had me stood me up for a whole year. You know what I'm saying? And through that whole year, I had a lot of strong emotions. Like, you know what I mean? It was all emotion based. And, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but, you know, I felt so strong that I would have that location that, you know what I mean? I would brag to the guys and tell them my vision.
Right.
You know, and it, you know, as it didn't happen, I noticed the guys was, just making jokes out of, you know, the failed attempts, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell me things like, you know, you need to slow down. You know what I'm saying? And take your time with this, man. I say, you know, I see how the owner is operating this, and I know I can do a better job. You feel me? I'm gonna be him, and I'm gonna be better. You know, and through them attempts, the laughter, the remarks, the feedback that I got through this matriculation. You feel me? You know, it made me stronger too. So just like beginning, cutting at the Governor Square Mall, my skills level wasn't that good. I was just coming from barber school, and, you know, I had a lot of people who would probably laugh at the way at my finished product haircut sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't let that bother me, you know what I'm saying? It didn't bother me at all, so I knew I had a strong enough mind that whatever it is I was fixing to do, I'm going to get that done, you know what I'm saying? And just a matter of attempts, man. Just a matter of attempts, and, you know, you're going fishing, and you pulling whatever you pulling at, you know what I'm saying? When it was my time, it happened, you know, and it's my time now. And, I have to manage this barbershop and build it and grow it in the way that I want to, you know, not the way that somebody else wants me to.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, you persevered.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Everybody, you know, you had haters, you're like, fuck them haters. I'm going to do what I got to do. And then it's like, shit, you ain't working on nobody else's timeline either. You working on your own timeline. So it may not happen exactly when you want. It may not happen exactly when anybody else. But, hey, you're here now. You've arrived. So the perseverance is definitely admired. Like, that. See, these are the stories. That's why we do what we do, though, because these are the stories people need to hear. Because you're somebody who represent the everyday person. And I just let you know that, hell, if you got a vision, man, work on it. Go for it.
Yeah, work on it. Yeah, I think confidence is what kills most people. You know what I'm saying? They say, you know what? I'm a fast. I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm gonna do this. But you know, as soon as a negative opinion comes, you know they stop. They stop at it, man. They don't never finish through.
Right, I'm rich. How you feel about that, Pat?
I mean, shoot, I agree.
Straight up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, I have my own confidence issues, so I can feel what he's saying, like, on a deeper level, you know. Like, I feel it because I've lived it. You know, I've had certain things that I wanted to do. And right. It is a sort of mental strength that, you know, like, I've gotten now. But when I was younger, I didn't have it. You know, if you told me if somebody was hypocritical or something I did or an idea I had or whatever the case might be, you know, I kill it myself. So, and looking back on it, you know, you missed out on maybe a lot of positive things, you know, by
that's right.
Not being confident enough to go ahead and be like, you know what, that's your opinion and that's cool for you to have, but it ain't going to affect what I'm going to do.
That's right. So,
straight up.
So you talked about not being good at cutting hair when you first started. So in your opinion, right? What does it take for somebody to become a master barber or to at least become good at cutting hair?
I think what it takes is you got to have a strong mind, brother. You feel me? You got to be able to accept failures, man. You got to be able to know that you are going to fail in this and you got to keep going and get better at it every day. If you can accept that fact, then you'll be a great barber. That's all it takes.
Boom. Short, sweet, and to the point.
Well, I feel you because it's like, you know how black people feel about their haircuts, though, man. And especially right. About their edge and stuff like that. So it's
right,
like,
right.
It's like, at what point did you get to when you was like, hell yeah, like, I'm this is it right here? Like, how long did it take you to get to that point?
I don't know. I think right now this maybe my maybe fifth year and cutting in the barber shop. I think I thought about that today. You feel me? When I was cutting up, I think I thought about that earlier today, man.
It's like hell yeah.
Yeah, it's going pretty damn good.
Nah, because I mean, like I say, for somebody to trust you specifically, you with their head, it's right. It's you already know what you already know how it is. Everybody know how it is, though. So.
I mean, I know my haircuts wasn't all perfect in the beginning. I think it's still little flaws in them now to this day. You know what I'm saying? But you know, it is based on the client personality, man. If you feel comfortable around you, you giving off, you know, good energy, man. You know what I'm saying? Or you might do something that wins his trust, such as for example, let me say before every haircut, I would wash my hands and make sure that the customer knew it because I would dry them right in front of the customer's face. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just a customer saying you do that, you know, you built his business, you gained his trust. You know, I think it's just small stuff like that.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, Pat, wash your hands.
Hey, man.
You know, I little stuff, man.
Probably wash my hands too much. You out of plan.
Yeah, no, right.
But nah, he right, though, because I was just thinking about it when he said it. Like, I've never seen a barber wash their hands before they cut my hair. So.
That's right. That you probably won't ever see it until you come to Advanced Cuts and Shades, man.
That would be pretty impressive. Like, that definitely sends a message because you don't see it. I like that. That's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to ask this question. It's kind of it's off the beaten path, but it kind of just popped in my head. How do you go about choosing the barbers who are going to cut in your shop? Like, do they have to like audition their skills or something, or is it based off relationships that you already know?
No, I pretty much use my instinct. I know I have to sit down and talk with each person more than one time. So, you know, basically the first time, you know, when I'm talking to them, if they give me good energy and they feel like they really want to come work, no matter what their skill level is, they just have some kind of drive in them. They kind of like self-motivating. These are the type of barbers and stylists and you know, nail professionals that I want in my shop. If they give me any type of other, you know, I guess an instinct or feeling that I get and it's not good, it's negative, I still have another conversation with them. But, you know, I already in my back of my mind know that this not going to work out. And then I let them know directly, hey, man, this not going to work out. You're not fitting in what I have right here. You're not fitting in. So, you know, I appreciate you and your interest, but, you know, you have to try another shot.
Yeah, you know, it's just as simple as that, man. I guess, select the hiring process, man. It's short and sweet, but it's that, though.
That's great relationship advice, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he said it don't really matter what skill, it matters, obviously, but he said it's more important that they have some sort of ambition, some sort of drive. You know,
that's all
you
need
about where you're at right now.
Yeah, that's real.
Hey, if that don't sound like good relationship advice, I don't know what is. I mean, that sounds like a great piece of advice for picking a mate.
I don't want nobody who's just going to show up. Nah, you got to show up and show why.
I may have been reading too much into it.
Nah. Go ahead.
So, what type of did it require any sort of like did it require any sort of like mental shift in your thinking to go from working in the shop to owning the shop?
Yeah, I see a lot of mental shift. Well, as far as the mental shifts, I think I always ran Governor Square Mall, I'm talking about ran it. I operated in that like I was actually the manager of that location while I was there. So the shift from going from already a manager to a owner, you know, it wasn't a hard transition at all. I was already, you know, mentally focused on what I wanted to do. And I guess through the everyday behavior or just cutting hair full time, you know what I'm saying? It's like something I breathe. It's an instinct. Yeah, it wasn't hard for the transition at all, man. And a lot of people say I think that I make it look too easy or something. Yeah, that's what a lot of people tell me, but, you know.
That ain't your fault.
It ain't my fault.
Yeah, we practice this every day, man. It's just a movement, you feel me?
Right.
From one location to another.
Right. So, just quick, you know, if you had to describe the mentality that you think successful barbers should have, like how would you describe that mentality?
As far as success with barbers,
yeah.
I think that barbers should be somewhat effective in communication, you know what I'm saying? They should be able to, they should know how to at least talk to the client that's sitting in their seat. If they're not much of a communicator, you know what I'm saying? At least have good energy with them, you know what I mean? Be well groomed, you know, smell good, you know, not bad, you know, smell like you groom yourself, take care of yourself, you know, little small stuff like that, you know, try to be consistent. I think if a barber can be consistent at whatever it is he does while he's at the barbershop, then he'll have a great business. And that's success.
That's cool, because I think I've sat and watched all the barbers in your shop, and I think, like, I would let all the barbers in your shop cut my hair, even though I know, like, I ain't got no hair like that, but even if I had an edge and stuff like that, because I've actually sat and watched each one of your barbers, like, really take their time and go through and cut people's hair and like, really hook people up, so.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we try to build that environment over here at Advanced Cuts and Shaves, you know what I'm saying? I try to encourage everybody to help everybody out, especially if you see a guy that has a weakness, don't laugh at him. you go over there and help him out, or let him shadow and watch what you're doing. If you know what I'm saying, and that makes right. everybody better. You know, we cut all hair types with very detailed precision. You know what I'm saying, and I think that's what sets us apart from every shop. And based on our location, you know what I'm saying, that's why I know I done gained a competitive advantage over every shop here in town. If I say that.
Right. Nah, I ain't gonna say it, dude. Say it loud, shoot.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Nah, man, I mean, I just, you know, you go into shops, you've been going to shops all your life, and most shops you go to got that one person that ain't nobody going to get no cut from, because they not good. And I was like, well, why they in the shop, like, and why they not getting better? But it's like all of the barbers in your shop, you know, they're on their game and they do their thing. And I do, and I have seen the communication that you talk about, them sitting down talking with the clients and making sure that, you know, before you put them clippers on somebody's head, that this is exactly what you want. And this is exactly how you want me to do it. So it won't be no miscommunication. So when I'm through, you won't be mad at me or something.
That's right.
All right. So now, earlier you said a challenge that you faced was the people giving you a runaround as far as actually getting your specific space. So other than that, what other challenges did you face, if you faced any challenges at all, and how were you able to overcome those challenges to gather the resources that you needed for yourself and your shop?
I think the basic challenge was financial education on, you know, trying to see really what all I needed. You know what I'm saying? It overwhelmed me because it was my first time, you know, trying to do it. But it just is all mental challenges. You know what I'm saying? It's just all mental. It's based on, you know, like I said earlier, emotions. You know, right. Once I learned how to control my the way I thought about it and relaxed a little, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's basically all I needed to do. I don't know. It wasn't too many hard challenges that I couldn't overcome. I think time and energy, not having enough time in the day, you know what I'm saying, and just letting people waste my energy in a negative way. You know, those were other challenges that I faced. And, you know, sometimes you got to just let people go. You got to keep moving. And you know, everybody not going to follow. So, you know, just knowing what these challenges were, you know what I'm saying, just making myself just change, you know what I'm saying, the way I do things and conduct myself personally. That's the way that I overcame those challenges.
Right. Now, that's real, though, because Pat and I talk a lot about self-reflection, self-evaluation, how to improve yourself, become a better person. Because if you don't evaluate you, you're not going to grow. And that's impressive that, you know, these are the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because like I say, from a layman's standpoint, or from people looking on the outside in, as a barber, you know, they automatically think that, well, you know, cutting hair is all you do, so that's all your world. But it actually makes sense to be smart and be educated as a barber and know some stuff, because, hey, you're sitting down talking to people all day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So, and just saying that's why I do, you know, promote education within the barbershop. You know, that's why, I stress that.
Yeah, and definitely appreciate you for allowing us to come out there, that time you let us come out there and set up our books and stuff and sell in front of your store. Definitely appreciate you doing that.
Man, there's no problem.
So,
you know what?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but with you saying that, you know, that does, you know, make me wonder about your long-term plans for using the barbershop to impact the community. Like, do you have any?
Right now, I try to do one thing at a time. If I can see that I can be an opportunity for somebody, whether it's a kid or a client in my shop, or actually a potential customer in my shop waiting to get a haircut, if I can for an opportunity based on just my business location, you know what I'm saying? I try to keep that in mind every single day, you know. If I see a young man walking around in my neighborhood, he needs a haircut, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to cut his hair because I'm not cutting hair in the neighborhood. But you know what? My son, you know, he got a pair of clippers. I'm going to make him go cut that hair. You know what I'm saying? That's how I use my community like that. You know what I mean? When they fail at what they're trying to do, I help them correct what they failed at and just build that confidence. And then I leave them alone. I let them go mess up some more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I use another example, the church, you know. If I go to church, I try to, if they have any events, or if I could just have, you know, men coming out to the barbershop where I could just talk to them for a second, just to, you know, share experience that I had in the barbershop maybe 30 minutes ago, you know. I try to use my barbershop and think about it in that type of term on a daily basis, you know what I'm saying? The community centers on Lawrence Gregory, Fourth Avenue with Miss Robin and Amir Hart, you know, I connect with them weekly. I cut free haircuts. I give kids free haircuts without anything in return. I don't want no publicity about it. I don't try to make it no event, you know what I'm saying? I just go hang out for a little bit, you know. And right. I think it makes a difference, you know. I'll let my barbershop be a host to business vendors. You know, normally a business, when they doing conducting business, it's all about money, you know what I'm saying? So most bosses or entrepreneurs or business owners, they will rent that space out, and they will charge whoever trying to, you know what I'm saying, being their business as a vendor, you know what I'm saying? And I don't look at it in the same sense. If I'm going to be an asset to this community, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you use your business, and I'm going to use my business, and we can put it together and, you know, and benefit each other, you know what I'm saying, mutually. And it's not about a cost. Most people try to offer me money after the events, and, you know, I don't take it because, you know what I'm saying, I didn't tell you to come here, you know, just to make money off of you. And I think that's the best way of doing business if you can, you know what I'm saying, if you had the opportunity to. And, you know, that's the way I look at doing business in my community, man. And, you know, it's probably plenty more, you know, experiences that I have that I can share with you. But, you know, those are just to name a few, man.
Nah, that's what's up. Pat, how many barbershops you been to that actually active in the community?
None.
There you go. You win, Willie.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up, man.
But nah, but also, I feel like it has to be that mutual relationship between the business owner and the community that they serve, as well as the community with the business owner. It's not only patronizing the business, but making sure that, you know, you're helping the business flourish. To me, if it's a black-owned business and you've had a undesirable experience, it's not, you shouldn't blast them. Go, you know, man to man, man to woman, adults, go talk to them, you know. See how you can help somebody fix the situation and get stuff better in your community. I feel like we take drastic action sometimes and we end up negatively impacting our own community and the businesses that be in our community. So. One time for that.
Yeah, appreciate
now,
it.
Now, we've you been know, talking Joe, about what's that?
I wasn't going to interrupt, but I because you just said something that's interesting, and that's something that I've noticed myself. If I do have a bad experience in a black-owned business, the owner of the business is usually there. Like I'm not like it's usually not a manager or whatever. The owner is usually there working. And usually, right. If you approach them like you got some damn sense, they're willing to hear you out. And you could potentially change their business, change you know, change what they're doing and make them more successful and better at it just by having a respectful adult conversation about a negative experience you had in their business, because most of them care about their business and they care about you as a customer having a good experience, because they understand if you don't, their business is going to suffer. So as black folk, I think we're in a great space with our entrepreneurs, because a lot of them are still very accessible, where we could do more to help grow the business just by, when we have a bad experience, talking to them like adults with respect instead of blasting off and going off on social media and lashing out and all of this and doing all that, or assuming that just because you can't talk to the owner of McDonald's, that you can't talk to the owner of, you know, this particular business. So, you know, I think you made a good point there that I thought needed to be repeated. So I'm done off my soapbox.
Nah, that's cool. Nah. You gotta do it. Now, you told us about how you became the barber that you are. I've also talked about you being able to have a mind shift, have a shift in the way you think and the way you handle emotions and all those things. But, so as a man going through your trials and tribulations in your personal life and business life, being able to overcome things, how has your time as a barber helped you improve as a man?
I say my time as a barber helping me improve as a man, I think just being around Iron Man, you know, just being iron sharpens iron, you know what I'm saying? Being around strong black men such as myself, you know, just like myself. I know I'm a positive energy, and I rub off on guys contagiously, you know what I'm saying, the positive way. And just being around great people, you know what I'm saying? I think that, you know.
Yeah. Nah, that's straight. That's what's up. But now, I mean, usually when people are talking about business, they don't, well, I guess the successful people do, though. The successful people, they understand that the journey is more about you than the actual business. And so have you ever had that feeling or being able to come to the realization and just see yourself in the process? It's like, I know this is what I want to do to, you know, live, to make a living. This is what I enjoy doing. But because it's really about you at the end of the day, because it's what you want to do. So have you ever kind of sat back and was like, damn, like, I know I'm getting better, but damn, like, look at what I'm doing. Look at where I am now versus where I used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
I try not to look. I don't know. I don't look at stuff like that, I guess. I haven't really thought about it. I don't try to look back, and, you know, I just keep trying to move and look forward. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you got to smell the roses. If one thing, one piece of advice I will give you, stop and smell them roses every now and then.
That's what's up. You right.
And the reason I say that is because I know myself, you know, me and Pat, we done had these conversations for years. We get so focused on the grinding that we never sit down and really evaluate what we've done and celebrate ourselves and appreciate ourselves for what we've done for ourselves. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, the journey is about you. Yes, it impacts other people, but it's about you at the end of the day. So smell your roses, like, celebrate yourself, even if this is a small accomplishment, you know, because And another reason I say this, I meet a lot of people, not saying you are one of these people, but I meet a lot of people with low self-esteem. And one thing I do tell them is, like, everyday many things, like, even if you're a student and you know that you've struggled all your academic career with doing homework, and you get consistent with doing your homework, and you get consistent with this or that, no, those are things that you should celebrate within yourself, because you have made strides and gotten better.
Yeah, that's right.
Now let me ask you this. Willie Moody 20 years from now, you got a chance to do a whole lot of things that you wanted to do, and over your life, or, you know, on your career, on your list of things to do.
Right.
And you get to look back, like, you, this is you looking back, like, what type of legacy, overall legacy, would you as a person and a businessman want to leave on this world?
Just a legacy of, you know what I'm saying, sharing, learning to accept help, you know what I'm saying, just love, I don't know, just leaving a legacy. I just would want to, just through my business, I know it still will be operating, you know what I'm saying, just to build those type of values within the culture of the organization, you feel me? Other than that, I don't know.
Right. Nah, I mean, but it's something to think about, though, you know what I'm saying, like that legacy, because and it's not to dwell on it, though, not to dwell, but just you as a, because you as a person, because at the end of the day, you're going to, I know you have a vision for yourself, you have, there's a way that you want to be able to see yourself, you had dreams, you had goals, so, you know, at some point, like I said, sitting back and smelling the roses, but also, as you keep going, it's like I just use Diddy as an example, because he's one of the last persons I saw on social media. So even though everybody may have their opportunity to write a narrative about him, he has the power and the resources to write his own narrative, to make sure his own narrative get played. So it's like thinking, this is what I want to be. This is where I want to be. These are the spaces that I want to be in. Now I'm in these spaces and I'm looking back. And it's like, okay, I was able to do this, and be able to help others out. So that's what I be thinking about when I be asking that question.
Well, I just to answer it a little better then, since I thought about it, I would say, man, to just keep it as simple as possible, you know, 20 years from now, I just want everybody to be able to look at an opportunity with, just be able to find the opportunity, or if they have an idea or any type of seed, you know, just, you got to plant that seed and you have to grow it, man. And it's just as simple as that on whatever it is you're trying to do in life. And you know, that's the only legacy I would try to, have, man. I think that's as simple as that.
There you go, setting that example for others to be what they want to be. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So we down to our final question, and this is Pat's question, is designated to him.
All right.
So Pat, you ready?
Yes, sir.
You so?
Yes, sir. So, if you were the ruler of Black America and you could change anything that you wanted, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
If I could change anything, it would be the financial education, man. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody should, you know, educate themselves on financial education and I don't know, just try to get along and help each other, you know, share that information. I would say just promote, just sharing and you know, it's, I don't know, that's it.
Man, I'm wrong with it. Financial education is very, 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 very important.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that they don't teach in all of these degrees that I have gotten and all these grades I passed, I never was taught about my money at one time. And, you know, 20 years from now, I think if everybody has a better knowledge of why they working so much, man, it'll be a way different world, you know what I'm saying?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, we
I don't know.
You know, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Pat.
I was just saying, We ask that question to everybody, and we love the difference in the answers and things like that, because it's like different pieces of a puzzle that we kind of eventually putting together to see how different individuals from different areas, different spaces in life kind of see themselves as Black people in this country, in this world, but also see other people and see how they are being able to use their platforms and things to not only improve their lives, but the lives of other folk that look like them. So that's why, no, that's one of the reasons why we ask that question and get some answers. Because it ain't no wrong or right answer to that. It's just, what do you feel and how do you feel? And that financial education is a strong piece because we need that.
I'm reading through some of the answers over the years that we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing where anyone else has said financial education.
Nah, that's what I'm saying, because I don't remember. If so, it wasn't a lot of people that said it.
Nah, I just read through all of them. Well, man,
nobody said all of them,
and nobody's ever said financial education out of the hundreds of interviews we've done. Well, not hundreds, but damn near 800.
Besides getting a degree in finance, have you ever received education at a public institution?
Nah, I haven't, which is what made me go and look, because when you said it, it was like, damn, you're right. Because everything I learned about finance, I learned myself, you know, either through researching or through real-world situations.
That's real. Yeah. That's what's up, though, man. Once again, overall, congratulations on everything, all the success, man, because, you know, people never really realize the behind the scenes that goes on. People don't realize your story, what you had to go through. And, you know, I didn't even realize a lot of things that you went through yourself to become the person that you are, to get where you are. So we definitely appreciate you giving your story, giving information, and inspiring others, too. Because I know when people listen to this, they're going to be inspired to go out and take that leap, take that jump, do what they need to do for themselves. So how can somebody want to, you know, somebody not in Tallahassee or people who are in Tallahassee, they want to contact you. Could you give us your contact information, your address to your shop and all that stuff there?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, the name of the shop is Advanced Cuts and Shaves. That's CUTZ. NNSHABEZ. We're located on 2415 North Monroe Street, Suite 1104. That's Tallahassee, Florida, 32303. My personal contact number is 850-694-9134. The shop number is the same. If you can reach me on Instagram, it's Cuts and Shaves, CUTZANDSHAVEZ, and also on Instagram as Advanced Cuts and Shaves. And also we accessible on Google, Yelp. Just type in ABV, usually it pops right up.
Cool. But, man, definitely appreciate you stopping by, jumping on the podcast with us and sharing your information. I wanted to make sure that we have you on here so our audience could get a chance to know you better. And, you know what I'm saying, just we like support, man. So definitely appreciate you. I know you had a busy day. We ain't going to hold you up no longer. So we definitely appreciate you stopping by, my bro.
Man, thank you very much, man.
Ain't no problem. We'll highlight you later, man.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yeah. Pat.
What up?
What upcoming projects you got going on, man?
The books are going to be coming out soon. And this report that I've been talking about for the past 3 weeks.
Well, could you give a little more information about your book?
Which one? Mind. With the braids? Yeah.
Which one you was mentioning?
So there are two books. One of them is a Black Tactics book. That book is more than likely not going to be for sale. It's going to be something that more than likely, we still haven't figured out what we're going to do in terms of distribution. That's just me being honest. But we are looking at the book coming out sometime in February. So that book, though, it won't be like you can get it maybe from Amazon if we do choose not to sell it. That'll be something where if I come speak at an event or a function or a venue or something like that, that'll kind of be the only way to get it. And that's if we choose to go that route. That's subject to change. But that book is on, you know, basically tactics and strategies that we can use to develop the community that we're trying to build. Basically, it's a book on how to deal with white supremacy. So, right. And the focus of it is white supremacy, not racism. So that's where we're going there. And if you don't know the difference, then this is a book you should probably pick up, because so you know, if I said we're focusing on white supremacy, not racism, and you're like, but ain't they the same thing? Then you should probably come to one of the events I'm gonna be speaking at and get the book, because you're gonna need it. And the second book is the Black Family book, and it basically details the kind of the history of the Black family in America and how we've gotten to the space we're at now, where men and women are kind of at this growing divide and the stereotypes are being embraced by the community. So it talks about how we got here, and it gives some solutions as to how we could redirect the ship. That book was actually written a while back. I think it's been finished since 2014, but it's been going through a lot of edits, a lot of rewrites, a lot of adding, a lot of subtraction. So that book is finally, hopefully that'll be ready to go in February, March time frame as well. So those are the two books. The Black Family book is called The Chasm, The Growing Chasm, and the Black Tactics book is called Black Tactics. So that's coming out. And then again, we got the Congressional Report Card. PAX is going to be releasing that. You know, the release date for that, well, you'll know when that's coming out, because it'll hit you in the face. But we also got that coming out as well. So those are the three things. Two of the things, me personally. A third thing is the organizational project that I've been working with our sponsors on. So that's what we doing.
That's what's up, man. Hey, man, I don't know, I've been saying I'm putting out my third book on the show, James, Volume 3, South America. It's coming soon. So, y'all make sure y'all stay up. I haven't set an exact release date yet, but the book is being processed and everything. So getting ready to come out very, very, very soon. But I'm making sure I'm promoting it. So y'all make sure y'all check me out. Visit my website, www.ontheshouldersone.com, to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants and my upcoming book. Of course, you know, support this Freedom Train podcast series, support the Fix Sports podcast. And I've been having a lot of internet issues and then just different stuff. So I haven't been able to put out the Fix twice a week like I wanted to past 4 weeks. But this upcoming, this next cycle around this next week that's be coming up, I'll be back on schedule with my two shows a week with the Fix. So look for that. Like I said earlier, the Fix is on Patreon, patreon.com/thefix. Support that. Make sure you support Lessons from the Screen. LFSC. Yeah, LFSC on Patreon. Make sure you do that.
Yeah.
What Pat said. Yeah, what Pat said, not me. Don't listen to me. Listen to Pat. Say it again. Oh, yeah, LFTS.
LFSC.
I don't know. Screen.
LFTS. Lessons from the Screen.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking about screen. I just went with the word screen and ran.
I see.
But, yeah, man. That's what it is. We out here getting it and getting better, man. So I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train Podcast series. Two fingers in the air, like this. Don't catch me. Yeah.